and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest news in health research. Hope you guys had a blessed, safe weekend. We've had a phenomenal time here. It's wonderful in Florida, and we got Dad on the show as always. We got some interesting information to go over, especially the stuff that's been going on with Hillary. Dad, why don't you start off on it? I'm kind of finding out about this stuff a little bit behind you now. This is some interesting stuff going on.
Well, you know, last week I did a bunch of research online, and I've worked with Parkinson's patients before when we had our office set up as far as, you know, in my office trying to help them. Very difficult disease to work with. I'm going to tell you why I believe she has Parkinson's. I've told you guys that repeatedly now for the last 3 months. I'm going to go into detail now why I believe she has Parkinson's, and I'm going to make people understand that this is not just a theory on my part. It's documented in evidence and research. And, of course, everybody now has seen the video picture of her leaving the 9/11 memorial yesterday after standing there for around 51 minutes, and she overheated in like 80-degree weather, 75-degree weather, and basically had to lean up against a concrete pillar that was kept designed to keep people off the sidewalk for, you know, for a few minutes until her van got there, because her van was not scheduled to pick her up. Then as soon as she wasn't leaning on the pillar, she took a step and fell. With the video that I saw, though it may have been photo edited, I don't think that it was, but it may have been, because I don't think they had time, showed a piece of a brace, some kind of bolt falling off her leg out from underneath her pantsuit. Now, whether that was photo edited or not, I don't know, because I didn't analyze the video or didn't have it analyzed, but that's what I saw. But regardless of that, she fell, pretty much would have done a complete and total face plant had they not caught her. And then they threw her into the van like she was a slab of meat. Now, then all of a sudden she goes to Chelsea's house, and all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, she pops back out and is walking around. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little bit extreme, and it's just a theory, okay? Don't be saying Ted Brower said this is absolutely a fact. Saddam Hussein had literally body doubles in the palaces who went to certain events with him, who basically looked like him. They'd been surgically altered to look like him. Some of the pictures of Hillary, she looks like she's 80 years old and about dead. Other pictures, she looks really well for a 68-year-old woman. I mean, I don't understand how you can have such giant discrepancy in photos. So she may be using a body double. A body double may have walked out of Chelsea's apartment and walked around dressed as Hillary was dressed and said, they asked her how she was doing, and she goes, I'm doing great. Beautiful weather today, isn't it? I mean, that's really a way to, after you just collapsed, did a face plant, you know, on the sidewalk, you know, talk 2 hours later like nothing happened. This organization, this Democratic National Party run by George Soros, ultimately run by the Rothschild banking cartel who runs the global banks, they basically can do anything they want from a surgical standpoint to change people. You get somebody who has similar bone structures to Hillary, similar body frame to Hillary, you know, similar bad looks to Hillary. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And bring her in and do some surgical alteration and make her look like Hillary from a distance. Is that possible? Absolutely, yes. Saddam Hussein did it repeatedly. Hitler did it. There are all kinds of famous people over the years who have done stuff like that, used different body doubles. And for heaven's sakes, we know in the movies they use body doubles all the time, especially with them doing action sequences. And nowadays they can digitally put the real actor's face on the body double's face and make it look as though that person's actually really flying the plane or really doing a face plant or really in a fight. So we don't know what Hollywood's doing or how this is getting rigged or whatever, but the Wicked Witch of Benghazi has basically sowed so much bad karma that her life is coming to a screeching halt is the way she knows it. Now, let me tell you why I believe she has Parkinson's. And let me tell you a little bit about, I've worked with this a lot in the background, so I'm going to give you some research on this. Here's the deal. On August the 14th, Joe Biggs from InfoWars said the Secret Service agent who approached her and told him that Hillary has Parkinson's disease. Now, why would the Secret Service divulge this? Number one, they absolutely hate the Witch of Benghazi. She is a filthy, filthy mouth witch. She's filthy. I mean, every other word is GD and F this. And she gets cussed out all the time. Last week, a guy had his Facebook page pulled. He had 200,000 hits in which he was actually telling he was a canine patrol, and he had actually swept a residence for her over in Europe. And she saw him in with a dog and went berserk and started cussing him, cussing the handlers, cussing everybody. Just filthy, filthy, filthy language. And he apologized to the guys who were there after she went in and slammed the door. And they said, don't worry about it. It happens every day. This is how she treats us all the time. Okay, I've told you guys this. I wasn't making it up. when we talked to the Secret Service back in the 90s, who were on the White House detail and left the White House detail to stay with Barbara and George Bush, because apparently they have a tendency to treat people a lot better than Hillary does. Now, Bill, they said, was always nice to the Secret Service in most cases, but Hillary was just Hillary. I mean, she's a witch. I mean, what is she going to do other than be a fourth-degree coven witch and just be horrible? Remember, she's also a feminist, and she's a man-hater on top of everything else. Now, on August 14th, Joe Biggs said that basically she had Parkinson's disease. Right after that, what ended up happening is Julius Assange released emails that Hillary had sent the State Department letter several years ago and asking if there were any new drugs for Parkinson's disease. And I'll tell you why she did that in a few moments. On January the 31st, 2005, she fainted during a speech. This is 11 years ago now, and she was caught by the Secret Service before she did a face plant. On June the 18th, 2009, she broke an elbow on the way to the White House. But remember, the Clintons are huge boozers. They stay drunk a lot. We've talked about that with their lifestyle, this whole debauchery they live in. So she could have been drunk. December 2012, she did a full-blown face plant, struck her head, had a major concussion, cracked her skull open, had to go into the hospital. When a Parkinson's freeze event occurs, I'll talk about what that means in a second, you suddenly lose all motor coordination and you just fall, unless you're braced or propped. If you're braced or propped, sometimes you can stay in that position if you're not top-heavy to lean forward. If you guys noticed the other night when she was at the debate, well, it wasn't a debate, the town forum, she was leaning against a chair which had obviously been screwed into the floor, probably with some lag bolts, so it wouldn't flip over. She never sat up straight. She never sat or bent her knees. Well, it's very difficult to do that if you have your braces locked in. For those of you who know folks who have problems with their legs and they're having to wear braces, perhaps with polio or some other type of disorder, once those braces get locked, you don't fall forward. It's almost impossible to do that. You kind of stay in a propped position. She never sat in the chair. She just kind of leaned against the chair. Again, that chair would have had to have been bolted down. Otherwise, it would have easily turned over. Just thought I'd mention that. The medical letters that she's received from her medical doctor has said basically she's healthy, but not one of the medical letters have been released from the fall in 2005, 2009, or 2012 from the hospitals. None of them. So she basically is not releasing her medical records. In January 2013, another recovered email from Huma Abedin, her so-called lesbian lover in the White House, who's also a Muslim, says that she's often confused, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, and she basically doesn't really know where she is. In 2016, videos of odd physical movements and brain freezes began popping up all over the internet. We showed pictures, and we talked about this on our show, of her having to be helped up a small flight of like four or five stairs, literally by both arms being carried. Again, it's very difficult to walk when you're wearing braces. She has a constant attendant to her that's always with her and a medical van that follows behind her with paramedics. We talked about this on Friday's show. In April, under one appearance, she had what's called a head nodding tremor. In Parkinson's, when you leave your head in one place or your hand is at rest and it's up in the air, it starts to shake. And many times, I've seen it so many times, you'll see somebody's hands just start shaking. Well, what they do to stop that, rather than letting their hands stay in one place, they'll put the hand on their chest when they're talking, or they'll hold the microphone, or they'll change positions with their hands, but they don't want to hold their head in one place or their hand in one place because it'll start quivering and shaking in many cases. In this video, she's sitting there holding her head in one place, and she just starts nodding, like uncontrollably nodding. Okay. Also, on May the 2nd, she had a video which is showing her middle finger over the top of her index finger. You guys can do that. You can force it. Almost impossible to do that without pain. It hurts. That's a typical Parkinson's hand movement because you're losing motor skills. In another video, several reporters shouted questions at the same time, and we've all seen this one too. She was having her coffee, and her head started to bob. She had an exaggerated manner, and she started flipping back and forth. Her eyes bugged out. It's not a seizure. It's a medical side effect of the levodopa drugs they use to control Parkinson's disease. It's actually called levodopa-induced dyskinesia, and it's spelled D-Y-S-K-I-N-E-S-I-A. is uncontrolled involuntary muscle movements. It's also known as PDLID. Now, levodopa has been used in Parkinson's disease for many, many, many years, and it helps to replace the dopamine in the brain. Part of the brain starts to die from Parkinson's disease. It's called the substantia nigra. That's S-U-B-S-T-A-N-T-I-A, substantia nigra. It's one of the coordination centers of the brain. And when this happens, you start losing your coordination and muscle control. The levodopa helps replace the dopamine that's being lost by that portion of the brain to help stabilize motor movements. This is very well seen by Michael J. Fox a few years ago, because he's always showing up on camera and he's okay and he's all right. He's being normal. And then a couple of years ago, he said, "Let me show you what happens when I don't take the Parkinson's medication." And he's sitting there and he's all twisted up. His head's bobbing. His eyes are bowing out. He looks like he's crazy. You know, Annette Funicello also had Parkinson's disease, and they said she had turned into an alcoholic. She was falling all of the time. Well, she wasn't an alcoholic. She had Parkinson's disease. It's a horrible, horrible disease. It's a debilitating disease. And the levodopa that is used to treat it causes these side effects, like these freezes that we're talking about. What normally would happen is if a person has a Parkinson's freeze from the levodopa, if they're getting too many visual or sensory inputs at one time, or in the event they're having too many stressors at one time. In other words, when you have 10 or 15 news reporters flashing flashbulbs in your eyes and talking to you and asking you a whole bunch of questions all at once, you have this freeze. You don't know what to do. Your brain literally goes into slow motion. And this happened to her again just a few months ago, when she was basically taking a group of reporters and talking to them, and she completely and totally froze. And then two attendants ran up to her. She started staring and couldn't stop moving. Two attendants came up to her, the big black guy and another guy, and they started rubbing her back, and they said, "It's okay, just keep talking. It's okay, keep talking." Now, when they do that, it's because their brain function is slowed way down, and they need to reboot their brain. Telling her it's okay to keep talking helps to reboot what she just heard. So then she says out, "It's okay, I'm going to keep talking." And when she does that, then she's back up again. This is a typical pattern of Parkinson's. Now, it doesn't cause a loss of consciousness. So when you do a face plant, you know you just did a face plant, but you can't do anything to stop it. You can't even put your arms up. This PDLID pretty much happens to every Parkinson's disease patient who's been on levodopa for more than 10 years. It's just a side effect of the drug. This is why she was asking the State Department in her emails to do more research on drugs for Parkinson's disease, because she was having too many side effects. This is why she now is refusing to do news conferences, has to take multiple days off because they got to make sure the dosing is right. The multiple stimuli and stress would probably set off multiple freezes events, which would make it impossible for her to be elected. This wouldn't work. At the DNC, if you guys remember during the balloon drop, her head jerks one way, jerks another way, her mouth drop open, her eyes bug out of her head, and every element common to Parkinson's disease sufferers showed. It just showed basically she had Parkinson's disease right there. Now, Hillary said she short-circuited, which is a term they use all the time with Parkinson's disease patients. It's a term they use clinically with them when they're talking to them. You'll short-circuit. So it's something that she knows she has. The attendants know that she has it. Now, let's talk about the coughing. The coughing has nothing to do with allergies at all. Nothing to do whatsoever with allergies. It's a swallowing disorder that is caused by Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease causes food or the saliva to get onto the vocal cords as it's making its way down into the lungs. Basically, it's just a way that the lungs fill with fluid, causing pneumonia. Okay? We've all swallowed wrong. The fluids go down to the lungs and can cause pneumonia. Aspiration pneumonia is the most common cause of death in Parkinson's disease patients. I'm going to repeat that. Aspiration pneumonia, where you're swallowing your saliva into your lungs, is the most common cause of death in Parkinson's disease. Now remember, levodopa for an extended period of time also causes extreme fatigue. Alex Jones says that Clinton is sleeping for 18 hours a day. She can only do one or two little things a week. That's all she can do. She has to stay in bed the rest of the time. So basically, in my opinion, she has advanced Parkinson's disease. She cannot hide the PDLID. She can't hide the tremors or the weakness or the fatigue. She can only take a few steps at news conferences. She can't handle any visual stimuli or cameras or too many questions coming at her at once. And she certainly can't handle the presidency of the United States of America. Now, as Parkinson's disease advances, it often causes dementia. Now, again, Uma Abedin says, she's very forgetful, she can't remember anything. And we saw that, of course, when she was talking about Benghazi. I forgot. Now, personally, I don't believe she forgot all of that, because she could have looked at her own emails, that I'm sure she kept on a private server somewhere else, and looked at what she said, Austin, okay?
Yeah.
But she's just lying. So, basically, she's a crazy witch with a horrible personality who likes to start wars and kill people, and we really don't need her in the White House. I mean, the lady's Looney Tunes, okay? I mean, I could say, ding dong, the witch is gone, but she's not gone yet. Okay, she's still trying to fight to hold on to her doggone position. Now they're talking about bringing Biden in, or bringing up her vice president, not nominee, or bringing back in Bernie Sanders. You know, we're now going to find out if the Democratic Party is going to try to continue this facade, because what happened yesterday with her basically just completely collapsing and doing a faceplant and getting caught before she busted her face open and cracked her head again shows the severe deterioration of her health. Now, Donald Trump is very, very smart. I spoke with Pastor David Crank last night, and David Crank knew about the fall an hour before it hit the media, because they were told, because he worked for the campaign with Trump. He knew about it an hour before it ever hit any media or any place, grassroots, anywhere. He knew about it, and he called me. He says, have you seen the video of the fall yet? He goes, can you explain to me what's going on? I said, yeah. So I explained to him what I just explained to you. Now, what's interesting about this is Trump is smart. He's not saying anything. He's not running around, ding-dong, the witch is gone. He's not doing that, okay? Because he doesn't want appearing to basically be elated over her misery. Now, Larry Nichols said just last week on Alex Jones that they always come from the position of an underdog. And they may be baiting Trump to try to say something about her health to try to get a sympathy vote. Now, that could be happening, too. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. She looks pretty doggone sick to me, and doing face plants and busting your head open and acting like a complete and total whack bag on national TV. I don't think she's planning any of that. But she is not an electable candidate. She is dangerous to start with. She's a fourth-degree coven witch who regularly attended her coven in L.A. County, when she was both in the governor's mansion and also in the White House, according to Larry Nichols, who worked for them on a private jet. I mean, this is some crazy stuff this woman is involved in. Now, do I take great joy in her being sick like this? Well, actually, I don't care. I'm indifferent to Hillary Clinton. I don't care what happens to her. You know, I'll be honest with you. I have no relationship with her. I don't take any joy, or I have no sympathy. She sowed so much bad seed and had so many people killed that karma's the pits when it comes back at you like this. And now she's being exposed fully on national TV. And remember what I told everybody who's listening to my show today? I said, don't pray that something bad happens to her. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. What I said is pray that she would be exposed to the entire world and exposed to the people in the United States for who and what she is. That's exactly what's happened. Now she's being exposed for being completely incapable of handling the office of the presidency of the United States. She's being exposed for lying repeatedly about all the things she's lied about. She's being exposed for not releasing her medical records. And she's being exposed for basically being the wicked witch of Benghazi and all the stuff she's done with the emails. She is completely and totally unelectable. And the fact that Democrats still say they're going to vote for Hillary in some cases, some of them don't anymore, blows my mind. You talk about partisan politics run amok. This is partisan politics run amok. I mean, go vote for the third party candidate. Go vote for the blithering idiot Gary Johnson, who basically is another globalist, if you like globalism like Hillary does. But voting for Hillary Clinton, with everything you see now, she's unfit to be in the White House. And thus they're going to prop her up. What's that movie, Austin, where they have that guy dies in the middle of the beginning of the movie, and he's throwing this big party, and they run around with his dead corpse propping him up, putting sunglasses and hats on him the whole movie?
Oh. Remember that one? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of it, though. Yeah,
it was back in the 80s, okay? It was some stupid movie. This is what they've got going on. They've got the witch of Benghazi is basically a corpse. She's still slightly breathing, apparently. And they want to basically prop her up in front of news channels and news cameras as George Soros tells them what to do and Rothschild finances it. That's what this whole thing's about. The problem is they saddled up the wrong pony this time with her. They should have never, ever hacked off the Bernie Sanders voters. See, Bernie Sanders lost a lot of respect on the compromise that he made by endorsing Hillary after all the things he said about her. So a lot of the people who really loved Bernie Sanders, the Bernie or bust people, basically got betrayed by Bernie. and by the Democratic Party. And their entire primary was hacked, and Hillary was a cause of it. So now here she is, unable to fulfill her duties as the President of the United States. The wicked witch of Benghazi is pretty much going to be the ding-dong, the witch is gone. And so now here we are. We got a situation where the Democratic Party is running scared. They don't know what to do unless they throw body doubles in there, but the body double cannot debate Donald Trump. Because remember, how they could possibly debate Donald Trump? It'd be a joke. So we've got a situation here where we have a constitutional crisis unfolding ahead of us. The election could actually be slowed down and not happen on November the 8th, and maybe happen in December or January if Obama allows it to happen. We've got Angela Merkel telling the people in Germany now to store food, store water, store supplies. You know, prepare for war, basically, is what she's saying, or some kind of huge national disaster. We've got 500,000 Muslims who are unbelievably pissed off at the United States for bombing their homelands that we decided to bring in just for fun. Germany's got millions of them over there that they brought in just for fun. And it's not fun anymore because now they've got horrible things like the, you know, hemorrhagic fever in Europe now from what all the immigrants. So we have polio and syphilis and scabies and, you know, drug resistance, TB, and leprosy, and the plague now in the United States. I mean, you know, go Obama. A couple of years ago, I did a show with this idiot liberal who I did not want to do the show with, but my publicist asked me to do it, and he basically was a complete and total moron because I told him that I did not want to have anybody coming into the United States unless they were medically screened because of all the diseases in these third world countries. He basically told me that I was a racist. And I said, I'm a racist? You're calling me a racist because I don't want to have people come into the country who could have diseases that could affect all of us. So what does that make me a racist? And see, now here I am, 3 years later, I was right. We got all of these diseases being introduced into our school supply and into the United States and into Europe. So this is an interesting scenario that Soros and the Rothschilds, the Bank of England, the Bilderbergers, the Council of 300, the Illuminati boys, the guys at Bohemian Grove, they're all bringing this stuff together now, trying their best in full-blown panic mode to put together a new world order, and their wicked witch of Benghazi, who they've been lying about for the last couple of years, basically is falling apart at the seams and dying before our eyes. So now they don't know what to do. So do I have sympathy for Hillary Clinton? Absolutely not at all. She has sown it. Now she's going to reap it. And barring a miracle because of her reprobate mind and her witchcraft and all the stuff that she did, unless God supernaturally intervenes, that woman's going to roast in hell for all eternity. And look what she's done. She's taken temporary fame, temporary money, temporary everything to compromise her very soul and follow Lucifer. That's what she's done. And now look what she has in the end. Complete and total humiliation on national TV, in the media, on the internet, and everybody knows she's the wicked witch of Benghazi and a complete and total liar. Amazing to me, Austin. Absolutely amazing that these things are unfolding. Just when you think this election cycle couldn't get any more bizarre, the wicked witch starts falling and doing face plants right in the middle of doggone 9/11 ceremonies. What a fitting event, since the Clintons and the Bushes and all of those guys were so heavily involved in what happened on 9/11, for her to be fully exposed during 9/11. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Any comments, Oz?
Well, no, it's funny you said that, because that's exactly what I was just thinking about. Is it so just ironic almost that this happened and she's actually exposed, because this was the civilian camera person basically just recording the end of her convoy as it pulled up, and they're just going to, you know, see what was going on, and they happen to catch her, and you can tell that she's standing there. There's a woman beside her to the left actually holding her arm, if you look at the video, and as she stands to go get into the van, she completely buckles and collapses, and both security guys on both sides of her grab her. But yes, how fitting is it that on 9/11, who, in my opinion, the Clintons as well were completely complicit in everything that happened there as well, because they are. They're all, pretty much, when people die by the hands of the U.S. government, I can guarantee you at some point in time the Clintons knew about it or they had it done. Almost every single time, any big stuff. Because 9/11 was not a little, you know, little car bomb. It wasn't a little fake mass shooting. That was a significant point in time in the United States of America when they really set up a full-blown attack to show us what they could do. And well, yes, how fitting is it that she collapses like that at the 9/11 ceremony?
Well, you know, I mean, quite frankly, I don't think that any conservative out there is going to have a single tear to drop when the wicked witch of Benghazi drops dead. I mean, and I don't think anybody's going to say, may she rest in peace. I mean, the Clinton Foundation is one of the most corrupt organizations in the history of the planet. Secondly, when he was president, he's the one who brought us the banking crisis, and he's the one who bought us the dollar crisis by getting rid of Glass-Steagall. He did both of those. He did both of those. Everybody forgets that. He did both of those. And heaven forget that we don't remember Waco and what he did at Waco.
Yeah.
Remember, he was also involved with the CIA in running all of those drugs back in the 80s in Mena, Arkansas as governor. Now, you can watch the two videos, Clinton's Circle of Power and the Clinton Chronicles on YouTube. They're free. And you can see exactly the in-depth nature of this. Now, what they did is nobody knew who this guy was when he was running for president to start with, but then suddenly he gets all the national exposure because he had the affair with all these women who were coming forward, and suddenly he becomes the underdog, and everybody feels sorry for him. He starts gaining national recognition, ends up being get the head nod from the Bilderberger boys, and he becomes president. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. See, this is what they do. They use themselves as an underdog to try to get themselves elected. And I personally think this time the American population has had enough of the Clintons, especially after they stole all that stuff when they left the White House. Now, don't forget, remember this also. He was also neck deep in Afghanistan and running in heroin for the United States, you know, through their bases in Turkey back when he was president back in the 90s. This guy is responsible for the death of so many people. Clinton's responsible for Hillary's responsible for the death of millions. He's responsible for the death of probably hundreds of thousands with heroin overdoses and drug overdoses over the last decades, not to mention all the people they personally had killed. I mean, over 100 people now on the body count. I mean, these people are wicked. They're grifters. They're complete and total criminal elements of the mafia, and that's who they are. And basically, she wants to be president of the United States. Well, I got a news flash for him. Our God is greater than anything they could ever muster up. And I told you guys, if we stood firm in the faith and we prayed that they'd be exposed, that this is going to work out okay for all of us. Because we're all starting to pray, which is their biggest fear, is that Christians are going to wake up and start praying in aggregate. Because when you pray, you release scalar waves. Remember, our weapons are not carnal. We got to get that. Okay, we're dealing with supernatural stuff here with scalar waves and how we create them in our brain when we pray. And the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal, that they're for tearing down strongholds. And see, guys, that's what you do when you pray and you issue these scalar waves. You literally change the very fabric of time space. And since we've been praying that she be exposed and the truth be told about her, look at the media and what they figured out on this woman. Even the mainstream media and mainstream radio talk shows now are beginning to discuss Hillary's Parkinson's disease and the problems associated with her even attempting to be in the presidency of the United States. Quite frankly, Obama's going to have to pardon that woman, because I believe it with all my heart, and I hope that he does, that if Donald Trump gets in the office, that he's going to go ahead and he's going to basically have her indicted under charges. Now, Dave Hodges asked me a question last night, Austin. I want to cover this with everybody, because if you heard the show last night, he asked me if I trusted Trump 100%. And the answer is no. And I'm not going to mislead you guys. Am I voting for Trump? Yes. I don't know him personally. I've got friends who say he's absolutely above board and everything else, and that he could be trustworthy. You can trust him. I don't know the guy. I mean, it's like saying to me, well, do I trust his TV persona? Do I like what he says most of the time? Yes. But he had a very good opportunity when he had the veterans in the room to really put an absolute just fillet job on Hillary. He never brought up the Benghazi stuff. He never brought up about the guys dying. He never brought up about the stuff about, you know, the stand down orders that were given. None of it that I saw, and that's why I missed it. You know, but the thing about it is, he may be told now to back off a little bit from his handlers, but he needs to dance with who brought him. You know, you take a girl to the prom, you dance with that girl you took to the prom. It's like changing horses midstream. You start crossing a river on a horse, you don't decide to change horses. I mean, he needs to stay with the tact and the policies that he's been pushing the entire time he's been running for the White House. That's what's given him all of this notoriety. Plus, I don't know how much of his money is entangled with Goldman Sachs. I don't know how many of his billions of dollars in investments and leverage that he has on a lot of his casinos and hotels and everything else that he has as far as golf courses, et cetera, all around the world are financed by Goldman Sachs. And I don't know what the terms of those finances are and if they can call those notes. I don't know that. That's number one. Number two is I don't know what would happen to him if they start threatening his children, because he has such a good relationship with his children. I mean, these guys play for blood. Remember what happened with Ross Perot. The reason he got out of the election the first time is because they threatened to kill him and kill his family. That's why he pulled out back in the early 90s. Then he tried to go back in again after he realized that they basically forced him out of the election. And when he did, he couldn't regather the votes. And he's the one who warned us about NAFTA and the giant sucking sound of all the jobs going down to Mexico. And he was 100% right. He tried to warn us over 20 years ago, and nobody listened to him. And now Donald Trump's trying to warn us. And I just hope, Austin, the globalists don't have their way with him after he gets in the White House. I really do hope that. I hope he doesn't do like everybody else has done and completely capitulate over to them once he gets into the White House and he starts finding out all this top secret stuff about the Exchange Stability Fund and who really runs the government and who really owns all the assets and what we really are in the United States as far as what the 14th Amendment did to us and everything else. I mean, if he starts to figure all that out, he may just kind of flip out and not know what to do. But I wanted to restore the Constitution like John F. Kennedy tried to do and like Ronald Reagan tried to do before they shot him 30 days in office. And, of course, Kennedy was going to get rid of the whole CIA, get rid of the war in Vietnam, get done with that because he knew that was about a bunch of drug running. He had enough of all of that. And he also wanted to do full disclosure on what happened at Roswell. And because, of course, they couldn't have any of that, so they ended up killing him. And then Marilyn Monroe wanted to come forward and talk about what Kennedy had told her. That's why they had her killed. And when Jack Kennedy found out that Marilyn had been killed, he went berserk. He was unbelievably angry because he never gave that order. You need to read some of the biographies and stuff that I've read. I mean, that's some crazy stuff when you start going back in history like that. And we all know that the Warren Commission and the report that we had on John F. Kennedy was about as good as the 9/11 report. All of it a pack of lies as we celebrated 9/11 yesterday, Austin. So, all right. Anything else you want to add about this? We need to change stories.
Well, no. The last thing, the article that I did have that tied right into this with 9/11, this was on on Breitbart today, since the 9/11 anniversary was last weekend. Since the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan, the area under opium cultivation in that country has increased 23-fold to an area 10 times the size of Washington, D.C., while the illicit drug trade has skyrocketed 18-fold. Opium cultivation and production has thrived over the course of the Afghanistan war. Imagine that. Despite a dramatic drop after the U.S. and NATO ended their combat mission in Afghanistan and withdrew most of their troops by the end of 2014, listen to this. This is wild. When the U.S. began targeting the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan on October 7, 2001, this is a month, basically right a month after 9/11, the ruling Taliban government had already imposed an opium ban in Afghanistan. Opium cultivation and production began to thrive immediately after the U.S. military replaced the Taliban-led government. Estimated opium production in Afghanistan in 2001 was barely 180 metric tons a year, the lowest since the early 90s. Opium production in 2015 is now over 3,300 metric tons a year. Meanwhile, opium cultivation measured by area has grown from 8,000 hectares, or about 31 square miles, in 2001 to 183,000 hectares, which is over 700 square miles of opiate last year, an area 10 times the size of Washington, D.C. So please, guys, tell me, what was the main reason that we entered Afghanistan after 9/11? Was it to avenge everybody? Was it to support America? Was it to engage freedom? Was it to fight terrorism? No, I beg to differ. These numbers say a completely different number, and this is what it's all about. It was about putting a reserve bank in the Middle East and Afghanistan and Iraq, which we did not have at the time, which is now controlled by the Rothschild family, and to control and dominate the entire opium production in the Middle East and be able to transfer it and traffic it into Canada and the United States with ease, because they already have troop transport now there, along with the planes, along with the cultivation, along with the growth now that's literally exploded almost 30 times larger than it was before he invaded that country. So, yeah, there's your war on terror success right there. I'm sure that's exactly what everybody was thinking about yesterday when they were doing the 9/11 memorial. Guys, I'm not being sarcastic on the fact that people did die during 9/11, and we prayed for everybody, and they hope they rest in peace. That was a horrible incident for the people that are involved in there. A lot of people's lives will never be the same. But the fact is, everything we've been told about 9/11 is a complete and total lie. Nothing happened like they said it did. Nothing happened for the invasion like they said it did. There was absolutely no reason to invade those countries except for the reasons that I just mentioned. So just remember that next time somebody wants to start arguing with you about 9/11 and the reasons that we went attacking another country that had absolutely nothing to do with that attack on the United States. So I just wanted to address that today when I had a chance.
What's happened is, in 1933,
Roosevelt, who was the second worst president we've ever had in the United States, basically seized the gold. He basically passed an order to seize the gold. 1934, the gold was basically stolen from the American population. The gold price was reset, making the gold worth a lot more money, and it was put into the Exchange Stability Fund, in which that became the shadow government through which the Rothschild banking cartel, who basically was in receivership of the United States at that point, because the United States was bankrupt in 1933, set up a shadow government to control the United States. The problem, we still had that pesky thing called the Constitution, and it was difficult for them to put huge amounts of money into the ESF, the Exchange Stability Fund. So the CIA was developed from the OSS, and what ended up happening is the CIA needed additional funding because they wanted to go ahead and work with a lot of the German resistance motion movements in Russia, and in Europe after the war, but they didn't have any money to pay them because they wanted to go ahead and set up false flags to fight communism. So the CIA went to Chiang Kai-shek and wanted to know how he was able to run a million-man army, and he found out he was doing it through selling heroin. So the United States started bringing in heroin into the United States because they were told that the Harlem jazz clubs would use the heroin and the blacks didn't matter, and the blacks could die because they were basically not humans, and they didn't care about doing that because it would raise money for the CIA, for the Exchange Stability Fund, and for the shadow government, because they felt the blacks were already decadent and they couldn't be basically fixed. That's how they felt. That's what they said. They used Lucky Luciano to help plan the invasion of Italy with the Italian mafia. Operation Gladio was used to allow the CIA to bring the drugs in to the blacks through the mobs in the USA through Lucky Luciano. Basically, this whole thing has been going on now since the 40s. The Catholic Church was used, the Vatican Bank, to launder the drug money that was being made by the CIA to pump it back into the Exchange Stability Fund, into the shadow government, and to fund the black ops. This whole thing gets so weird and so crazy that people can't even believe this actually happened. Read the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the Mafia, the Mob, and the Vatican. And it goes into detail on every bit of this. Now, what happened is the reason that we were in Vietnam was the Cambodian Triangle, because they were bringing the heroin in from there, and they were putting about 50 kilos or 100 pounds of heroin in the caskets of the GIs who were dying in Vietnam. That's why, as far as I'm concerned, and I believe this, there were so many ridiculous missions in Vietnam which had such high body counts, because the more bodies they killed, the more heroin they could bring into the United States. I don't think they had any interest at all in how many people they were killing, because it was allowing all the heroin to come into the U.S. Then they had a giant, basically, drought there, probably because of the chemtrails that we were even using back over in those days. The poppy fields died. So the CIA moved the fields into Afghanistan in 1978. Well, that really hacked off Russia. And in 1979, the USSR invaded Afghanistan. Then we started basically pumping $1 billion a year into the Mujahideen to fight Russia. And then that's what happened with Russia. They basically went bankrupt with the USSR fighting the Afghanis because we were funding the war against Russia. Now, all of this stuff is known. It's all basically record now. This is all admitted that this is what happened. Now, this whole nutty thing then, basically they had to get the heroin production dropped to a record low, like you said, in 2001.
Yep.
And, of course, it was perfect timing for the 9/11 to happen, to bring the troops back into Afghanistan, to bring the heroin production back up to par. Remember, the number one thing in the world trafficked as far as sold is oil. Number two is natural gas. Number three is heroin. $1 trillion a year coming into the United States. Now, number four, according to Doug Hagman the other night when I was on his show, is child sex trafficking. One of the largest things in the world that's going on right now throughout all these different countries with slave trading and child sex trafficking. And that's because of all these nutbags that are out there doing these weird rituals with these kids and all these sodomites that are running around. So that's what's really going on in the middle of all of this. Now we go into the 70s, into the 80s with Clinton. They were bringing in drugs from South and Central America through MENA, Arkansas, which Clinton knew about all of it, was part of it.
And then they used him because he basically did what he was supposed to do with that in the 80s. In the 90s, they made him president of the United States because they knew that he'd continue to allow a free flow of heroin coming out of the Middle East and a free flow of cocaine coming out of Mexico. That's why they don't try to stop this flow. They can stop. Why do they not just go in with Agent Orange? They like to spray us with this crap all the time, this glyphosate. Why don't they just go in there with the C-130 transport sprayers and spray all the crops with glyphosate where they're raising all the heroin? It would literally take a day. You put about 10 of these tankers out there, it'd take a day and all the heroin would stop. They don't want it to stop because that money's being brought into the United States to run the shadow government. That's what they're doing, guys. And see, this is the thing. It's all about the money. It's what Jesus said. The love of money is the root of all evil, which basically means that greed is the root of all evil. Because these Sabbateans that are involved with this Khazarian mafia, they don't care about you or me or anybody. All they want to have is commerce going. They would be making money constantly, and bringing in their world for Lucifer. That's all they care about. They don't care about whether you live or I live or Austin lives or anybody lives. They don't care. They probably don't even care if Hillary lives, if it won't serve her now that she's ruined herself publicly as far as being electable. They probably don't care if she checks out. Now they may get a big sympathy vote with the Democratic Party because Hillary dies while running for office. I mean, they could do that too. So she needs to watch her wretched witch back because they'll be after her next. Because if they can't use her, Austin, they're not going to let her be a loose cannon on deck. They're not going to do that.
No
way. But anyhow, let's change the story real quick. This is interesting. This is from Wells Fargo, just fired 5,300 people for engaging in massive fraud. These 5,300 employees should have been charged with fraud, and they should have been sent to jail, but they've been just fired. They created over 2 million fake accounts. On Thursday, Wells Fargo was fined $185 million, including a $100 million penalty from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the largest penalty the agency ever issued, for engaging in pervasive fraud over the years, which included opening credit cards secretly without a customer's consent, creating fake email accounts to sign up customers for online banking services, and forcing customers to accumulate late fees on accounts they never even knew they had. Regulators said such illegal sales practices have been going on at least since 2011. In all, Wells Fargo opened 1.5 million bank accounts and applied for 565,000 credit cards that were not authorized by their customers. Guys, I don't even know what to say about this level of fraud. I think the entire company needs to be shut down and broken up into segments and be sold off. The fact that they were able to do this had to come from the highest levels of management, Austin, to pull this off for 5 years. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. They can say that they weren't complicit in it and nobody knew about it except for all these guys that are getting fired here. But there's no way that their security team... Listen, you got to understand, when you're dealing with this type of security, with any type of banking, credit cards, debit cards, anything that has to do with money transactions, the restrictions are so tight on everything. That's why at HealthMasters, we use Authorize.net for our credit card virtual terminal. They're one of the strictest, most strongest credit card virtual terminals in the world. That's why we use them. So these guys that are doing this stuff, they have parameters. They have very specific security structures that go into place with multiple people in line as backups all the time. There's no way that this happened by accident and nobody happened to catch it for this long a period of time. I think it's complete and total bogus. I've never liked Wells Fargo. I've never supported them. I've had multiple people that have been banking with them, had loans with them, and every single person has always had nothing but negative things to say about them. So it doesn't surprise me at all. If they treat their customers the same way they do in person as they do right now with what you just said, hey, I'm not surprised at all.
Wow. Oh, by the way, one more quick thing with Clinton. Clinton has now canceled her West Coast trip due to pneumonia after collapsing 9/11 Memorial as doctor revealed she was diagnosed on Friday. Remember, aspiration pneumonia is the number one cause of death in Parkinson's disease. And if she does have aspiration pneumonia, she's going to have a pretty wicked death if she dies from that. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting, too, now. Pharmaceutical giant Merck, as you guys know, they make a lot of different fantastic things. They announced this month that they are abandoning their plans for the new osteoporosis drug known as Adacavir. This new one that they've come out with. Remember, they had the other one. It wasn't Merck. It was the other company that came out with the, I think, was it the Fosamax?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the issued ones. It was causing all types of issues. Well, this one, they've done all types of phases of safety trials, and now they've directly linked the medication to increased risk of stroke. They tried to get it passed to the FDA, and apparently it looks like it's getting held up now. They said, at the same time, we believe the increased risk of stroke in our phase 3 trial does not support any further development. They were planning on raking in roughly $3 billion a year for this blockbuster drug that they have been working on some time. They've been announcing since 2014 that they've been delaying it, trying to get FDA approval, but now under no uncertain terms is it showing that it is directly linked to causing strokes. And the thing is about it, guys, you have to understand, a lot of these medications they come out with are complete and total garbage. Why is something that's supposed to help you with bone density cause a stroke? That is not normal. That is not natural. There's absolutely no reason it should be causing something like that. That's why we have the Osomag, and we also have the Ultimate Bone Support. I can't tell you how many times I've had, especially women, that are having issues with osteopenia, osteoporosis, and they call us up. We start them up on the Ultimate Bone Support or even the basic Osomag. We use the MCHC bovine calcium out of New Zealand. It's microcrystalline hydroxyconcentrate calcium. You can look it up on our website if you want to do more research on it. It has been and still will be the most clinically effective form of calcium for reducing porous bones and osteoporosis. It works excellent. That's why we sell so much of it. Going on these medications, guys, that increase your risk of cancer, increase your risk of stroke, increase your risk of kidney failure, it's unnecessary. It's absolutely unnecessary. Osteoporosis is not difficult to treat as long as you catch it in time and you do the right, proper, healthy supplement. The garbage they sell is, you know, Walgreens, the calcium carbonate and eggshell and rock coral calcium, all that stuff, guys, it's ground up rock. It doesn't matter what it is. It's ground up coral, it's ground up shell, it's ground up rock, it's ground up marble, granite, you name it, grind it up and eat it. That's what you're taking and stuff. All it does is plug your arteries and your kidneys and never does anything significant for bone density. That's why the stuff that we have sells so well and it's so effective, and that's why I wanted to bring this up today, because the fact that this was even going to be a $3 billion medication that they were planning on having being a blockbuster saddens me, the fact that this many people go to these medications that have this significant side effects is something as simple to fix as bone density. And that's why I wanted to bring it up today, Dad. I mean, what else do you think about that? I mean, we know why they do it. It's simply for money. But how do we get everybody's attention and realize that a lot of times these medications are just not necessary?
Well, the craziest thing is people need to realize that your medicines can actually age you and cause you to die. If you're tired, weak, you're fighting off constant nagging muscle pain, adding insult to injury, you want sharp memories, now duller than you've ever had thought it could be. You know, why don't you ask your doctor what he's giving you? I mean, you got to realize something, guys. When you're giving like proton pump inhibitors, which almost everybody over the age of 40 now is on because they're not producing enough acids, they want to shut the acid off all the way, it's going to completely destroy your ability to absorb vitamin B12. It's going to lead to that. No B12 is going to lead to memory problems, confusion, mood disorders, muscle weakness. This is the same drugs that deprive you of calcium and magnesium, which are essential to your heart, bone, and more because you can't digest your food. A statin given for cholesterol can cause you to have massive CO2 drop. You have muscle pain so crippling to your skeletal muscles that you think you're basically a cripple. You can't even pick up weights anymore because of skeletal muscle necrosis. All of these are side effects. I mean, look at the side effects of common diuretics. You lose calcium, vitamin D to drop to the floor. This is by Harvard. I mean, think about this for a second. You know, aging doesn't have to be a life filled with brain fog, muscle pain, brittle bones, and memory loss. Okay? I'm 60 years old. I feel absolutely wonderful. And we hit the weights at least 6 times a week. And I have tremendous energy. And no, I haven't had a purple stick today. And no, I haven't had any coffee today. But I did have one purple stick this morning at 6:30, but it's long worn off. The thing about it is, guys, is if you eat the right foods, if you eat clean, I had somebody ask me today, we were dropping some clothes off at the Salvation Army, because the kids have outgrown them. And I remember I was talking to the guy, and he was saying, well, what's the secret? What's the secret you have for long life and feeling good and looking good as you do at 60? And I said, the secret is basically, you know, you just have to eat clean. See, that's the thing. Just eat clean. You have to just eat clean. That's the secret for all of this. And you've got to take really high-quality nutritional pharmaceutical supplements. You don't go buy cheap stuff. If you're going to go buy a bunch of ground-up rock and think that's going to help your calcium levels, all you're going to do is give yourself calcium buildup in your arteries. You're going to cause hardening of the arteries, and you're going to turn your arteries to stone. It's useless. It's like drinking mineral water. I mean, with all that minerals, calcium in there from the rocks. No, you don't do that. You don't have to do that. It's not healthy. You drink distilled water, reverse osmosis. That's why we sell the distillation systems at the office. And again, guys, we're almost out of time. I mean, man, it's the quickest show I think we've done in a long time. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting us. We've got a couple minutes left. Thank you for picking up some of the maximum energy. What's the CD set we have right now? It's the Maximum Fat Loss Book, the Maximum Energy Health and Fitness Program,
and the HPD Series Maximum Energy Health and Fitness CD Series. Yep.
We have all kinds of reports and basically stuff in there. And with every $300 order, if you get a distiller, basically you get a copy of these. Right? That's what it pretty much boils down to. A distiller is really, really important. Plus, you get like $300 worth of audio tapes and the reports on top of the distiller. So it's like a 100% discount on the distiller. So when you order $300 worth of stuff, you get this. It's TED's CD set, correct, Austin? Isn't that the code?
Yep, TEDCDSET. Simple, no spaces, doesn't matter if you capitalize it or not, TED CD set.
Yeah, and thanks for supporting us, guys. I mean, we've got to get a bunch of equipment now. I just found out that's like $5,000, so we've got to get that. We have to make sure we raise the money for that. And if you guys everybody continues just to buy a bottle of multiple vitamins from us, that'll happen. So, guys, thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you sign up for our newsletters, that you get your supplements from us, that you learn from us as far as the health nutrition, and you basically trust us to get your news. I mean, this stuff with Hillary Clinton and Parkinson's, it's crazy. This lady has got some serious, serious health problems, and she's also suffering from dementia. So we don't need her in the White House at all, and we certainly don't need that alcoholic, AIDS-riddled, he looks like, man who slept with 2,000 women in the White House again. I just don't really want the Clintons back in there again. That's my opinion. So anyhow, what's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, one of the last stories we have in here, this is interesting. I have no idea as far as the validity of what's going on with North Korea, but apparently they just had a 5.0 magnitude earthquake, supposedly from their fifth nuclear test in North Korea. Apparently the United States isn't too happy about that. I have no idea if this is something that they're actually, this is, you know, more obfuscation, trying to get the media attention off Hillary Clinton, or if North Korea is really blatantly testing nuclear weapons continuously, trying to show that they want to do something. But basically the government is saying now that if there's any type of assault on their allies and partners, that provocation and action will be met with serious consequences. Like I said, I don't know the validity of that, being the fact that I would be surprised if they didn't put something in the media right now to try and cover up what's going on with Hillary. But again, North Korea is a bit of a loose cannon with the way they act, in my opinion.
Well, we don't even know what they're doing over there because we only have the mainstream media reporting on it.
Exactly.
They may not have done anything. They may be telling us that North Korea has all of these all of this technology now with all these nuclear weapons, and all of a sudden they're going to say North Korea exploded a nuke and basically caused an EMP over our country, and now we have to nuke North Korea because everybody's out of power here, and North Korea didn't even do anything.
Yeah, I know. That's why I put that statement in the beginning, because quite frankly, like I said, I'd be surprised if they didn't try and put something in the media right now with what happened with Hillary this weekend, because that was such horrific news for the media. I mean, because they even stated now in InfoWars, they put an article up earlier, the Democratic National Committee is set to hold an emergency meeting today during it will consider replacing Hillary Clinton as the presidential candidate after her collapse in New York. I have no idea if they're actually going to go through with that or if they're doing that again as a smokescreen, but that video was pretty clear what was going on, and everybody has known that there's something going on. Even the AP, which is very, very liberal media group, has even said now that Hillary's health is no longer a conspiracy theory, that there is obviously something going on, and the American population wants to know what it is. Even the people that were calling Trump conspiracy theorists months ago when he called out her on her health are now saying, yeah, we kind of want to know what's going on now. That was kind of significant what happened to her on Sunday. We really would like to know exactly what's going on with her health. So I think the American population is starting to wake up. Even the liberals, even the Democrats are kind of going, what's going on here? Why are we being told she's all hunky-dory, she's fantastic, she's wonderful, she's great, and we see her not even being able to walk by herself in any manner at all? Every time I see her in a photo, she has somebody shoulder-to-shoulder with her, if you've noticed that now. Every single photo, somebody shoulder-to-shoulder with her, literally ready to catch her in this moment, second, if she falls over, collapses again. That was not a heat stroke in New York on Sunday. That was 75, 80 degrees with no humidity, like you said. there's something going on with her. And quite frankly, I'm not really concerned about what it is. All I'm concerned is that the globalists don't try and push some type of false flag to keep Trump out. That's my biggest concern with it.
Me too. One more story. Peanut butter, is it good or bad? Well, actually, it's not really good for you. You better off to go ahead. I'm talking even organic peanut butter. You shouldn't eat it. You better use almond butter. Let me tell you why. Peanuts contain a compound called an aflatoxin. There's a good chance that these toxins are lurking in your child's lunchbox because of the peanut butter. And many of you who studied whole food and holistic nutrition have learned about aflatoxins in peanut butter. They're one of the prime reasons that many of us have kicked peanut butter to the curb and started using almond butter. Think about it. If you notice mold growing on your bread, you'd throw it out. But the problem is they can also grow on the peanuts underground, and so you can have this aflatoxin compound inside of the peanut butter. As alarming as it sounds, even apparently healthy foods can kill you. Aflatoxins are among the most poisonous natural compounds on the planet, and aflatoxosis is what happens if you ingest enough of aflatoxin from peanuts or from soybeans. It is the most potent, naturally occurring liver poison known to human man. In other words, it's the most naturally occurring liver carcinogen known to humans. Okay, that's it. Now, multiple sources now refer to aflatoxin as the most deadly naturally occurring toxin. It's estimated that 4.5 billion people are exposed to aflatoxins each year in developing countries, although the numbers are largely unmonitored and on the rise. People consuming normal-appearing corn, which can be GMO, peanuts, or grain, have become critically ill and even died from acute aflatoxin poisoning, which can cause life-threatening hemorrhage, liver damage, pulmonary edema, convulsions, and brain damage. So, guys, do what we've done. We've stopped using peanut butter, and we've shifted it to almond butter.
Yep.
Now, if you had basically a chance to have your peanuts tested or the peanut butter tested for aflatoxins and it didn't contain any of that and they were organic, okay, maybe then. But to me, it's just not worth the risk. So, guys, thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening today. Give us a call. Go to our website, healthmasters.com. We love you. Appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes. Thank you, guys, for everything. Hope you guys had a good, safe weekend. We'll be back on again tomorrow, as always. If you guys have any questions, email us or call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.